and welcome into the Who's Up podcast, part of the Sabre Podcast Network. It is a big week here in the Charlottesville area as Virginia gets set to take on number 8 Florida State in 2025. 30 years ago is when my guest played against the Seminoles back in 1995. I've got the one, the only receiver, kick returner, Demetrius Petey Allen, joining the podcast today, man. Demetrius, hey, how you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
I got to ask, we're kind of getting into the buildup of this game right now. What is Florida State, when you see Florida State, Virginia, what does that mean to you?
You know, it was, oh man, it was such a, well, first of all, Florida State to me, when it comes to the ACC, you know, when I was playing, they were like the standard. You know, they came into the ACC and they were just blowing people away. And it was like that for a couple of years, you know. So, you know, we established like a little rivalry, even though it was one-sided for a while. You know, you got tired of those guys, you know, giving it to you. So, yeah, and I still kind of see them that way. You know, I still – you know, like to see the guys step up and, you know, accept the challenge. Because, you know, they always have a good football team. They have a good ball team. I have a lot of great players out of Florida, so they're always competitive. But, you know, yeah, man, they're still on that list for me.
It's funny because talking to some Virginia fans that maybe didn't grow up around that, you know, saying Virginia and Florida State, they have a rivalry. There's a trophy between the two schools. Like, yeah, they don't understand that. But, like, I think you could look back to 95. You could look to 2005. Yes. You know, 2019 and 2011 as well. Like, those are some of the more memorable games through Virginia football history, are those games against Florida State. And yet, like you said, it was a one-sided rivalry. Virginia has a couple of those one-sided rivalries in their history right now. But, you know, it meant a lot to, I think, fans, but also the players and everyone kind of involved.
Yeah. You know, it was one of those games that, you know, people remember where they were. You know, it's certain, you know, events that happen in your life and you remember. You know, I remember that night. I was, you know, on the corner. Or I was, you know, with my friends watching the game. Well, I was there. You know, I ran on the field. It's just one of those nights, man. It was a magical night. Amazing. And that's what I'm hoping for this Friday. I hope that, you know, the stadium is packed. And I hope that it's, you know, that the fans are rowdy and, you know, excited and ready to go. And, you know, pumping the players up. Because I just have a feeling about it. And I just think it's just, you know, it's going to be a great game, so I'm looking forward to it.
You mentioned remembering where you were. Now, I told you beforehand, I don't remember where I was back in 1995. I was 2 years old. I apologize. Oh, man. I apologize for dating you, but hey, 2005, I remember very clearly. I was on a church retreat in somewhere in North Carolina. I was very upset. You can ask my parents to this day. I'm still upset that I wasn't going to the Virginia game against Florida State that weekend. But I had a little old, like, Sirius, like, handheld radio that I convinced the pastor on the trip to, like, just let me hold on to it, listen to the game that night. And I remember standing, like, sitting outside next to a tree or something, listening to that game. Like, you remember those. But like I said, I wasn't around. Don't really remember much about 1995. So let's take back, kind of set the stage a little bit for this game, because it's the 30th anniversary. And I know, you know, Virginia's doing a little bit to kind of get back into the mood of things right now. We've seen some interviews with Tiki Barber and Grow and kind of the whole crew leading up to this week. And there's also some throwback uniforms coming out this week.
I don't know if you're aware,
but there's a little bit of throwback this week. But back in 95, this team is so interesting because I look at scheduling now, but like looking at opening at Michigan in the Big House, and then you know, you got another game in there at Texas, and y'all played some really close games, lost by 1 point to Michigan, lost by 5 points to North Carolina, and just a point to Texas, like close losses leading up to this Florida State game. What was the kind of the roller coaster going through that season leading up to this game?
So you just explained it, man. So we, you know, that year we had a really good team. And if you look at the players on that team and the, you know, NFL careers that they had, I mean, it's obvious. And you know, just looking at one that, you know, unfortunately was injured, Anthony Poindexter. You know, he could have, I mean, who knows, you know, where his NFL career would have went. But just, you know, we were loaded, man. And you know, we were anticipating the schedule. We knew we were going to play a lot of great teams. But yeah, like you said, man, we had some unfortunate losses. We lost to Michigan the last play of the game. We were winning, you know what I mean? Like in the big house. We were in the big house. You know, little old Virginia going up to Michigan and, you know, having them. You know, we were there and we lost that one. Last play of the game, and then we went to Texas was another game that we marked on the calendar because you know the guys who were at UVA at that time, we you know the team before the 89 team, you know, they kind of set the tone and you know it did a lot of had a lot of great victories. But you know, we were our goal was to consistently play some major college football. And that year with the Michigan on the schedule, then you had the, you know, Texas, and we were going to Michigan, going to Texas. And, you know, like I said, we lost those games, but we knew that we had one more chance. And that was that Florida State game. And we decided, man, that game, we decided that night, you know, that Wednesday night, that we were going to, you know, we're gonna win this game, man. And you know, if you look at the game, it's really a great game. It's such a great game because you know they made a lot of plays, you know, as expected. But you know, I don't think they expected us to punch back. And you know, when we started to punch back, you can tell, you know, the tone and you know how they approached the game. It changed because now they got a little antsy. You know, and yeah, they got a little antsy and they started, you know, getting out of character because, you know, as they raised the bar, we went with them. And then at some point we started setting, you know, raising the bar and setting the tone. And, you know, and it got to a point where, you know, who's both making plays and, you know, who's going to make the last play.
Well, before we get into that, I wanted to talk about the kind of the week leading up to that, because I don't think I realize looking back, like there weren't a lot of big primetime Thursday night matchups like
Oh,
this
no.
back then. Like this was kind of the beginning of getting like these big matchups on Thursday nights. So, you know, now you see
Yes.
it more often. And that, you know, this week we have a Friday night game, and you know, college
Yeah.
football games are all over the calendar now, but you didn't get Thursday night games like this. So what was the turnaround going into a Thursday night game like this atmosphere? And I want to pull up one of the quotes here from your quarterback, Mike Groh. He was quoted before the game: "Forget the wine and cheese, break out the bottle of beer, fill up this place and make some noise." That quote stuck with me. How did that set the tone for the atmosphere that you see looking back on that game?
It was right because I don't know what type of pre-gaming they were doing, but the fans were, hey man, they were all in. And it was that type of game. Thursday night, like you said, it's you know, it was unusual. You know, they were number two in the country, and you know, we were a good team, but we hadn't had that big win, you know. So they, you know, we weren't expected to win that game, but you know, we knew that we had enough talent to win it. So, oh man, our fans were all of, you know, they had been, and you know, they've been following us, so they saw that we had lost, you know, these close games. So they knew that the talent was there. It was just all about, you know, putting it together. But man, I'm telling you, man, it was magical. It was really something special. And I get it all the time. You know, it's 30 years, man. And, you know, you'd be amazed how many people will walk up and, you know, we'll start a conversation about football. They found out I played on the 95 team. And they said, oh, man, I remember y'all beat Florida State. You know, I was hanging out with my brother and, you know, we were doing this. And it's just, it's a cool feeling. It's cool to be a part of something that people, you know, remember throughout their life. So, yeah.
Well, I want people to fully understand like the talent on both sides in this game. Like, you look at the Virginia side, you got the obviously Tiki and Rondae Barber on the side, you got Jamie Sharper, you got James Ferrier, you got
Percy
yourself,
Ellsworth.
Percy Ellsworth. I mean, like the list goes on and on.
Yes.
You got George Welsh on one sideline, you got Bobby Bowden on the other sideline, Danny Cannell, Warrick
Yes.
Dunn. I'm a Falcons fan, so I'm a little partial to Warrick Dunn. But just the amount of talent that was on both of these sidelines, like
Yes.
this was a prime A1 kind of college
Yes.
football game.
Yes. Yes. And it shows when you look at it, you'll see guys are making, great football plays. You know what I mean? Great football plays all over the field throughout the game. Exceptional. You look at somebody like Percy Ellsworth. Percy, and I coached ball after I played for a while. And I used to make my team watch this game. Because if we were going to play a big team, I used to make us watch this game because I wanted them to see, that you're going to be in a game where, the other team is going to make some plays. And you're going to have to, take that lick and you got to hit back. And that's just something. And the funny thing is I can go into this because it's life lessons in it too. You know what I mean? It's just about, competing and willing to be there to the end and give yourself a chance to win. But yeah, guys like Percy, man, was he not he dove in the goal line. They were driving. You know what I mean? And he made that dive and interception, man. It was just so special. James Ferrier blocking the punt, Anthony Poindexter just tackling everybody everywhere. He was young. He was
Redshirt freshman,
young.
right?
Yeah, he was young. He didn't, man, he didn't know what he was out there just playing football. But we were making great football plays. And like I said, on their end, they were, doing the same thing. So, if you're a person who enjoy, watching the game of football, this is a great game to watch.
You talk about life lessons, and a perfect example early on, Tiki Barber fumbles on the second possession. That leads to a quick Florida State touchdown. But then, of course, we get the big, option 64-yard touchdown run from Tiki. I think that was the next possession to answer the Florida State touchdown. It was the second longest run Florida State allowed that season. What do you remember? You could talk about that game, but obviously Tiki had a great career, and that was kind of one of those games you put up on the mantle.
Yeah, so Tiki, that was a big game for Tiki because, they were kind of comparing him and Warrick Dunn, and I'm gonna tell you something about Tiki Barber that people don't see. When you practice with a guy for years and he's your teammate, you kind of know about Tiki. Tiki got a whole lot of dog in him. You know what I mean? Like, this guy's a tough guy. Like, I'm really, he's a tough guy. And he's not the rah-rah guy. He's not he's not gonna, say a lot. But when it's time to play, he's gonna lace him up and buckle him up. And he's gonna give you everything he has, man. And whether he fumbles on the first play or whatever, he's gonna get back up. And he's gonna go 100% again. Like, this guy, I've seen this guy take some shots. Like, he wasn't the biggest running back. Like, these guys were teeing off on him. He'd jump right back up, go back to the huddle, and be ready to go again. So, and in that game, I can say outperformed him, Warrick Dunn, but they both had great games. But Tiki really showed that he was one of the best running backs in the country that day. So, yeah, my guy.
Yeah, no, obviously a lot of hype for Warrick Dunn going into that, rightfully so. Like he still
Yes. Yeah.
kind of came through in the end for them and almost won it for them there at the end.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that play. Let's not get there yet. But one thing that stood out to me, and George Welsh, obviously legendary coach at UVA, but
Yes.
I heard on the broadcast that he couldn't eat anything during a game day. Like what was Welsh like on a game day?
I missed the guy, man. Coach Welch is he was a solid guy. He's a great coach, great man. He stood for something. You know what I mean? Like, he stood for something. And there's a lot of coaches that are in the game, and they may go back and forth depending on whether you're winning or losing. Nah, Coach Wilson straight down the line, buddy. You know what I mean? Right is right and wrong is wrong. Whether we 9-0 or 1-8, he was just going to be, do the right thing. So yeah, but Coach Wilson, man, he was an interesting person because, he didn't talk a lot. He didn't talk a lot, especially on game days. And if you think about it, he played football, back in the day. They probably wasn't
Yeah.
allowed to talk before the game. But he was a special guy, though, man. We have so many stories. When the guys get together, we talk about, Coach Welch, and because I say he's interesting. He was hilarious. I didn't think he knew. He didn't know he was this funny, but he was hilarious. And we were, just like any other players, we'd talk about him behind his back. But he was, joke. He was a great guy. But he was funny as I'll get out.
My favorite is always when Ahmad Hawkins, who does the color analyst now for UVA football games, he does a great impression of George Welsh, and that is always pure comedy listening to that. I want to skip ahead a little bit. Your touchdown there, the first time I've seen that play, 72-yard touchdown. What do you remember about the play? And then I got to ask about the celebration afterwards, because you place the ball down in the end zone and you run away. Like, what was, take me
So,
through
you
that
know what?
play.
That's a great question. And no one never asked me that question. You're the first person to ask me that question. So, Sean Hamlin, and it's funny you asked it after what we just talked about, who's Ahmad Hawkins' cousin.
Okay.
So, Ahmad Hawkins grew up at Florida State. He told me he grew up a Florida State fan. So, Sean Hamlin played at Hampton High School. And we played against each other in high school, and they beat us. Of course, I don't know if you Hampton was like the dynasty of Hampton Roads for
Yeah,
like
the
years.
crabbers. Yep.
Exactly. So he was on one of those teams, and they beat us in high school. So on that play, it was a we Grove called an audible, and we kind of looked at each other, and we had a signal, and I knew I was going to, run a fade route. And I just remember getting around him and just, getting my shoulder on top, going back to good football plays. That's my coach. I always taught him, get your shoulder on top and kind of control the defender. And when Groh, threw it over my outside shoulder, that's what the coach tells you to do, great football plays. And I just made a good catch on it, man. And I kind of felt the guy fall, and I looked back, and Sean had fell over him. So that went to the end zone. Now, here's the celebration. The good part is that, man, Florida guys can talk. Like those guys, man, listen, I have never seen guys talking to football feel like Florida guys. They would, man, listen, they would talk so much junk. So, and we weren't, I wasn't talking too much junk, you know what I mean? So after I scored, man, I put the ball down, and I went to find him. Oh, I went and find the safety who kept talking junk to me. Oh man, I found that guy, and I was just talking. I was giving it to him, man. Probably shouldn't, but man, it felt good when I did it. And that was the story. And Sean was right there, so I was like, Sean, you better tell him. You. So it was awesome, man.
See, here
Yeah,
I
it
am
was
watching it on the broadcast, and you can't see that part of it. But I was like, oh, he just placed the ball down, walked away. He's like, business
awesome.
not taken care of. No, you were going to go talk on
I went to find the guy who was talking
business.
junk. But here's the thing. If you watch the game, Bobby, the coach over there, Bobby Bowden, afterwards, he's complaining. He's complaining to the fish. He's complaining about me because I was giving it to him, man. It felt great. It felt great.
I'm sure it did. All right, you get to halftime. You almost got a second touchdown right there before halftime.
Yeah, man. That's the one I nightmares about that one.
So that one sits with you. But right after the half, Tiki gets, he starts off with a big run. There's so many fireworks in the first half that you're kind of watching the second half back. It was kind of, I think there's a lot of nerves going in there, just like as you're kind of getting to the end there. But Florida State comes back. They're down. What was it? 30, 33-28 after Warrick Dunn scored a touchdown. And here we get into the fourth quarter. I watching the play back, it's a bold move to go with a direct snap to the running back from what was that, like
Yes.
six-yard line or so? Like,
Yes.
what? Talk me through what y'all were seeing from the sidelines as this play kind of unfolds before you.
So, going back to watching film, this was a play that they used throughout the year. The
Yeah.
direct snap to Warrick Dunn always worked, and I couldn't figure out why. Like it was at some point it was obvious that they were going to run this play. I kind of think because he was kind of short and they couldn't see him, and he was so strong and quick, when they, before they see him, he was gone, but this particular play, oh man, we were nervous because here we go again. This is Michigan. This is, Texas. And, here we go again. We've given it everything we had, and now, last play of the game, and our defense played a heck of a game. So we can't be mad at them, you know what I mean? If you know, I mean, you know what I mean? It's Florida State. We're playing an amazing program, and oh man. So when he had the direct snap, we all knew the play, and now we're like, man. And he made somebody miss. We kind of got in there a little bit, and Adrian Burnham.
Yep.
So. Oh man, Adrian Burnham. We give all of our teammates have nicknames. His name is Little Brother. Little Brother is what we call him. Little Brother, and because everybody loves him, he was like the guy that would hang out with everybody. And he was just such a little brother. He's like in the all the sense of the word. Like he was just a pest. He was just one of those guys, but you just loved him, man. You just loved him, and. For him to talking about football plays, for him to not just get over there, but to think that to push the ball back so it doesn't get over the goal line, and then for Anthony Poindexter to be there right with him, which they were like thick as thieves, they were like best friends.
Yeah,
So
same
for them
here.
two to
Yeah.
be there, yeah, and make that play, man, it was, oh man, it wasn't a better feeling, man. It was amazing.
It's a play that gets replayed so many times, and in each
Yeah.
time, like you can kind of see a little different part of it. I've never seen right before that. The fans
Yeah.
were on the field.
Oh, yes.
Were you part of trying to get these fans off the
Oh, yeah.
field?
Yes. So we almost got a penalty.
Yeah.
So, yes. So oh man, that drove us crazy. So the fans rushed because they thought the game was over.
Yeah.
So they was going to throw a flag on us, which would have, brought them close to the goal line, which was, they didn't need any help. So, oh man, we were trying to get them off the field, man. Oh, we were, it was, yeah, that was something totally different. So now we have to go back and play football. You know what I mean? So
Yeah.
after that, then the guys still had, and I got to give them credit, even if you brought that up, they had to lock in to say, okay, now we still have to stop the team. So, yeah,
Yeah.
man, it was awesome.
What was the euphoria like when fans actually got to run on the field, goalposts
Man.
coming down, and you pull off this crazy upset that has just been bookmarked in UVA history?
I tell you what, I can't remember a win like that. Now I'm sure they probably had, a win like that since at UVA. But as far as the football program, man, I'm telling you, it was electric. Everybody was on this field. Like it was everybody just had to come. Man, you see people running down the hill, they jumping over the stands, and and then it was such a UVA is a great community. When I was there, we all loved each other, man. We all got along. So you see people running around hugging and high-fiving, and it was great, man. It was great. And then we went out and partied. It was
29
awesome.
straight wins for Florida State to start the ACC in their ACC
Yes.
there, and y'all were the first ACC loss they ever suffered. I was going to ask, what was the celebration like that
Oh man, hey, listen, man,
night?
that was great. That was good. It's 30 years ago, and I'm still smiling. Let's say that it was an awesome night, and we all had friends and family there, man. So it was just getting out and just having fun. You know, it was about time. You
Yeah.
know what I mean? It was about time.
One of the things that stood out so much watching the broadcast as a whole is almost it felt like every time they brought up a player's graphic, it was from the state of Virginia. And I know you, obviously being from the 757, like it was a very core part of those Virginia teams back then,
Yes.
was a lot of in-state talent. And somewhat, Virginia still has in-state guys, but a lot of guys leave the state now and they go to,
Yeah.
the Penn States, the South
Yes.
Carolinas, all these other schools in the country. But why was it make it so much more special because of all the in-state talent that you had on that
Yes.
team to pull that
Yes.
off?
Yes. 100%. And that's how it was. So we came to UVA on that mission. That goes back to marking those games. Like we in the class before us, they were had a lot of UVA, I mean Virginia recruits, and we added to that. And yes, we and Florida had a lot of Florida State had a lot of Florida guys, but back then that's kind of like how things went. And we wanted to, not put Virginia on the map, but we wanted to make a statement to say, hey, look, we can play with anybody, man. Guys in Virginia can play ball. And if you didn't know, you know now. So that was, and if you look back on it, that was a pivotal win in not just UVA football history in the state of Virginia. You look at that was the win that really put, everyone on notice to say, hey, look, these guys can really play. So yeah, man, it meant a lot. It meant a whole lot.
I know we're here to talk about that game back in 1995, but there's another game and there's another moment that I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about. And I think you know which one. It's the 83-yard kick return in the Peach Bowl later that year.
Yeah.
How do you rank that? Is that the peak right there? Is the touchdown against Florida State? Like, where do you rank these moments?
The individual plays, that would be the peak for me.
Yeah.
The individual plays. The team is Florida State.
Yeah.
It doesn't top that, man. It doesn't top that.
Go through that play though, 83
Well, that
yards.
play, the Peach Bowl. So, which is great because, the kick return team. We had some great coaches, but these guys were wild, man. So we were so close to running the kick back that year. I mean, we played NC State. We almost broke like two or three of that game. Clemson, Duke, I mean, you name it. We were like so close to breaking one. And the guys on that team, on that kickoff return team, had so much pride and being on the team. And that's the other thing about having a great football team. You have guys who take pride in special teams. Like our gunners would run down the field and stop the ball from going in the end zone, and we all would be excited. We high five and just that's a great football play. But against Georgia, shout out to my man Walt Deary. If he sees this, Walt was the tight end who fumbled the ball. Walt fumbled the ball. And he thanks me to this day every time he sees me. He's like, man, Petey, you're the best. But after he fumbled, they had a flag. So yeah, so it was a sh you know they moved us up, and we like I said we were close the whole year. And man, listen, little bruh, that particular game, we had myself and Terrence Wilkins were returning the kicks, but. They put Adrian Burnham back there as my lead blocker. And man, listen, when I tell you he cleaned this guy's clock, he cleaned this guy's clock, man. And I just cut off. And once I kind of saw opening and I was able to accelerate And I saw the kicker. I was like, there's no way this guy's going to catch me. And I went to the sideline, and you know, I was able to keep my balance, man, and take it to the house. And that was a great way to end, you know, my college career. And looking, you know, moving, looking forward, or looking back on, I'm sorry, looking back, is that, you know, I didn't have a NFL career. You know what I mean? I tore both my Achilles tendons the same day, 2 years apart, February 3rd. So I didn't get a chance to have an NFL career. All my other guys, all my other wide receiver teammates, they had great careers, and I rooted for those guys. They was playing for me at some point. But to look back and to be able to say that that's how I ended my college career, it means a lot to me. You know what I mean? Yeah. It means a lot. Went out on top. So, wahoo, wah.
Yeah, keep that play right there. Adrian Burnham, the unsung hero of some of the biggest plays of that season, right?
Yes.
I looking forward to this Friday night now. I go back and look at that game. Florida State, Virginia combined for over 1,000 total yards that game. And now you get to this Friday night, and you've got the number one offense in the country and the number four offense in the country. Yeah. It feels like a very similar type game that we're going to be in store for on Friday night.
Yes, 100%. And I think it will be. I think it's going to be a back and forth, you know, who has the ball last type of game. And, you know, of course, I'm predicting that we're going to walk away with the win. But I'm expecting fireworks, man. I'm telling you. Those guys are playing great football. You know, they're trying to, you know, figure it out and get the program back to where it used to be. And, you know, we're doing the same thing. And I love what our guys are doing. I love the way they're competing. I love the fact that the coaching staff, that they're preparing these young men to go out there and compete. They're excited. You know, you can tell just by watching them that, you know, everybody, they bought in. You know, they bought in. So I'm expecting them to go out and you know, compete. And, hey, man, take it, bring the win home.
All right, I know you got the Cavaliers. I think they opened up as a 6.5-point underdog against Florida State. What do you think it's going to take for this Virginia team to pull off a little 2005, 1995 magic and kind of pull a repeat against the Florida State Seminoles?
You know, I think they have the talent. I believe they have, you know, the coaches. I think they have to put it all together. And they have to be willing to compete. It's going to go to another level. At some point in this game, it's going to go to another level. And they have to be willing to go and match that energy. And, you know, even if it turns up more, they got to be willing to go wherever it goes to get this win. And I believe that they have the attitude to do it. I think they have it.
I'm interested to see what the fan turnout looks like. It's been – you know, it's been a while since Virginia's had a really good, consistent football product out there. So you don't get as many fans when, you know, you're kind of going through some lean years there. But it's a big game. It's, you know, it's a top 10 team coming to Scott Stadium. You've got a good team in Virginia. I think the hope is at least 50,000, and we'll kind of see what Scott Stadium looks like on Friday night. But it's got to be weird. You know, 30 years, man. 30 years since 95.
Hey, it's been, yeah, that makes it feel weird. it's been 30 years, and you know, and it's still, I still can feel it, you know. Yeah. And we, when we get around each other and we talk about it, we still, you know, feel the wind and feel the energy of that night. Like I keep, the word I keep using is, it's just magical, man. I'm telling you, it was just a great night. But here's the thing. They have an opportunity. This team has an opportunity to have the same magical feeling 30 years from now. You know, they have an opportunity. And I'll tell you what, you know, a win like this, will etch their names in Virginia history. This is the game. I don't think it makes or breaks their season, but I think it can determine their legacy at Virginia. I think it's that type of game.
The man everyone in Virginia affectionately just says, Petey. I sent your name, and that's every single person was like, I said, oh, I'm having Demetrius Allen on. It's like, Petey. I'm sure
Yeah,
you get that a lot.
I get it a lot, man. And I didn't become Petey until I came to UVA. I was Pete, but it's out of love, man. And I can tell, when someone calls me Petey, I can tell that there's some association with UVA. And man, it just makes me happy. I'm cool with being Petey, man. I had a lot of fun at the University of Virginia, so I met a lot of cool people and great experiences, man. So, yeah, man, it's great times in my life. I met my wife at UVA, man. You know, hey, it was good times.
Well, Demetrius, I appreciate you coming on the Who's On podcast. We'll see what happens this Friday night, man. But it was good to reminisce and just talk about this program through the years, man. You've been a real treat.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I'm gonna tell you right now, it's 31-28 our way is what I think is gonna end. 31-28. And I tell you what, I said it before, but I think the guys have what it takes to win this game. I believe the coaches are, this is a moment that they've been waiting for. It's been a lot. They've dealt with a lot at UVA. And these players have fought through a lot. And I want to see them put it all together and come away with this win. I know I'll be rooting for them. And I know the 95 team will be rooting for them. And the whole Wahoo Nation is behind them. So I want them guys to go out and take care of business. And 31-28, UVA. You heard it from there first.
Petey calling his shot here on the Who's On podcast. Thanks again, man.
Thanks, God. Have a good one, man. Thank you.
Right, big thanks again to my guest, Demetrius Petey Allen, former wide receiver for UVA, back on that 1995 Virginia team that upset Florida State, that they're going to be celebrating the 30th anniversary of this coming Friday night in Charlottesville at Scott Stadium, when UVA welcomes in number 8 Florida State, the first ACC top 10 opponent they will have hosted since 2016 against Louisville, first top 10 team coming into Charlottesville since 2021 against number 7 Notre Dame. But again, we know the history. Virginia has not beaten a top 10 team at home since 2005. That team, of course, number 4 Florida State. And I've made this point a couple times in talking with people, throughout the week as we get ready for this Friday night game. The 4 times that Virginia has beaten Florida State, it has been a memorable affair each and every time. You think back to 2019, and they kind of call that the springboard for that 2019 Virginia team. That's what kind of pushed them, to win the ACC Coastal, to go to Charlotte, to go to the Orange Bowl eventually. That was kind of the launching off point for that season. 2011, down at Florida State, obviously a memorable one there. It's the only win at Florida State. Looking back at 2005, that daggum number 18, Marcus Hagans, leading Virginia to a win back in 2005. I like to tell the story that I was on a church retreat and going on my SiriusXM radio trying to follow that game. These are the kind of games that speak to the moments, and that's a huge reason why having a guy like Demetrius Allen on to talk about that game is so special. But another big opportunity this week, 2025. It'll be 20 years since 2005, 30 years since 1995. And so, why not have these teams here again? They did not meet in 2015, if you're wondering. So this is the first time they've met in a, I guess, 10, a five of a decade. since 2005. Really interesting matchup. Just wanted to go over a couple notes after talking to Demetrius after we got out of the press conference on Tuesday with Tony Elliott. Obviously, the big kind of question mark going into this one for the Cavaliers is what is the health status of Brady Wilson, the center, who went out of last week's game against Stanford with a calf strain. The prognosis by Tony Elliott as of Tuesday was day to day. If you look at the online, if you look at Dr. Google, Dr. TikTok, the prognosis is usually for a mild calf strain, at least 1 week to 3 weeks, which could put him out, past the bye week. So it's not a positive look if you look at what Google and kind of what basic medicine tells you about calf strains. Virginia is keeping it as day to day right now, so we'll see and up, wait for the injury update that'll come out on Wednesday this week because it's a Friday game. There'll be another one, I believe, on Thursday because it's a Friday game, and then you of course get the one on Friday. So there'll be a lot of injury updates to come over the next couple of days. Another one that you're kind of looking at is, all right, if Brady Wilson's out, that means Drake Metcalf is moving to center. That's what we saw against Stanford. Drake Metcalf, to his credit, I mentioned this earlier in the week with John Freeman. He played center at Stanford, played center at UCF, so he has a lot of experience there. And that was a position that, the Virginia coaches thought maybe that he could play when he got to Virginia as well. But of course, he kind of settled into that right guard position this season. He's been terrific at it. I don't have as much of a question mark around if Drake Metcalf has to play center. It's who plays the right guard position next to him. And fills his place there because basically with Brady Wilson, you're losing two starters almost because you have to move one starter over. Last week it was Kevin Wigginton because Ethan Sipe, who has been the backup right guard and has been one of Virginia's first offensive linemen on the off the bench all season, playing right guard, playing right tackle, playing as that extra offensive lineman that comes in on those big packages. He's been really good, but he's been out. He's been battling some foot and some ankle issues. So he missed last week. Tony Elliott said, he's trending back towards, returning to play. Again, that's another big question mark that we're going to be looking at when the injury update comes out this week. So without Ethan Sipe, who I think would be the first option, you're looking at Kevin Wigginton, who kind of came in banged up last week. If you'll remember, he was one of the questionables on the injury report last week. So Kevin Wigginton. And Tyshawn White, who actually got some play at right guard. And he's a guy that's kind of been banged up and just hasn't been able to stay in the lineup during practice to get those reps. And that's why, he hasn't played as much yet. But he's definitely a guy to watch come this week as one of those guys that can fill that right guard spot. So that's the biggest question mark is the offensive line. These guys, though, keep taking injuries and they keep on fighting back. So I'm not going to put anything past them. They did, officially give up their first sack last week, which Tony Elliott actually attributed Chandler Morris dancing around too much. But we'll see what the offensive line looks like because, look, you're going to be facing a really tough, stout Florida State defensive line on the other side. So that's the big question. Defensively, the big question has nothing to do with, I guess you could say, is someone going to play or not? It has more to do with the communication of who is playing, and that's the big pass plays that we've seen given up this year, and that was one of the more interesting kind of answers I think we heard on Tuesday's press conference, which Coach Elliott jokingly called Wednesday's press conference because that's it's Wednesday and they're in their game week prep right now, but the big question there is communication because it seems like no matter is. Who is in there at those safety positions, whether it be Devin Neal, Christian Charles, Ethan Minter, Antonio Clary, that just seems to come some kind of communication, gap between the corners, whether it be Donovan Platt, Jordan Robinson, Emmanuel Carnley. And that's what's leading to a lot of these big plays. And that's kind of, I asked Antonio Clary, a guy who obviously has all the experience in the world playing 7 years now at Virginia. And he said it really just came down to communication. It has nothing to do with the talent. He thinks they're talented enough to, prevent those big plays and to also, make big plays in the secondary. It's just about the communication. That's kind of what happens when you have so many new pieces back there. So that is definitely one to watch because, while Florida State, most well known for right now, early in the season, for their running game. They are second in the country with 363 yards per game on the ground, helping lead their, first in the FBS, yards per game and first in the FBS in scoring. The passing game, though, with Tommy Castellanos, a guy, Virginia fans are well familiar with now. They played him 3 years in a row now. The previous two at Boston College, where they went 1-1 in those matchups, winning last year's matchup in Charlottesville. They kind of started the backslide there for Castellanos and his career at Boston College. Now he's at Florida State. He's been playing terrifically, but that play action pass, that's something that I think you're going to see. Gus Malzahn, who's now the offensive coordinator there for Florida State under Mike Norvell, I think he's going to try to, test this Virginia team deep. And why wouldn't you? Like, that's something that they should expect. And Tony Elliott even admitted as much. Like, he expects Gus to, to try to go deep on him. So that's a big thing to watch, especially when you've got some really speedy receivers there. Micah Dansey, who's a kind of track star there for them. He actually leads the team in rushing yards with 173 yards on five carries. He has three touchdowns, the freshman. He leads the team in rushing yards, but also a big deep play threat. Deuce Robinson, the big guy, he's got 199 yards on eight catches and two touchdowns this season. So both of those guys, big weapons in the passing game and the running game. They kind of use a bunch of different guys. Gavin Sawchuk is a guy that, he had 97 yards rushing on 11 carries against Kent State. So they got a lot of ways to kind of come at you, a lot of different players. It's kind of, if you think about it, this is a matchup of pretty much two teams that are kind of mirror images of each other. They got, great transfer quarterbacks coming in that have been fantastic to lead them so far this season. Chandler Morris for Virginia, Thomas Castellanos for Florida State. They got a lot of different skill position players that can do a lot of different things for you. Virginia has 10 guys with over 100 yards from scrimmage this year. They're the only team in the country with 10 guys with over 100 yards from scrimmage. Jamari Taylor obviously leads the backfield. You got all these different weapons: Trell Harris, Cam Ross, Jamal Edrin in the passing game. That's kind of what you're seeing on the other side of Florida State. No wonder, this is the matchup of the fourth best offense versus the first best offense. And that's why I mentioned it to Petey there. This is kind of similar to that 1995 game where there's a lot of offense. So I could see some fireworks going off in the first half. Virginia unfortunately ran out of fireworks last week against Stanford. That's how many points their offense put up last week. So hopefully they got the fireworks locked and loaded. Looking at this game right now, it's interesting. Opened up as a 7.5 point Florida State favorite on the road. The spread is about 6.5 right now, so that would tell you maybe fans like Virginia, they're betting some of that under there. It's such a tough game to pick going into this weekend. Obviously, being in that Virginia landscape, you want to pick Virginia. And this is a game before the season. I said, this is the key upset game on Virginia's schedule. If they can do something like this, and we didn't know Florida State was going to be as good as they have been, first through their first three games of the season. Really, that Alabama game was the big surprise from that Florida State team. No one knew they were going to be this good early on. So that upset, who knows what that was going to be like. But yeah, this is a tough one to pick. Why not go for a win this Friday night in Scott Stadium? Really interested to see what the crowd attendance looks like. It's 36,000 last week. I thought was a little bit lower than I was expecting for a night home game on a Saturday night against an ACC opponent. But Friday night, there's been a lot of anticipation building for this one. How about the uniforms? Golly. Really knocked it out of the park there. I know John Freeman kind of teased that on our Monday podcast. But yeah, like if you look at the 1995 uniforms, like it's kind of a clean classic look and kind of take on those 1995 uniforms in the modern day. So it's going to be just an electric environment at Scott Stadium. And it's one of the bigger games, that I've seen here at Virginia. Obviously, the Virginia Tech game is big every year. Like, that's always going to get a lot of attention. But as far as a regular season game against not Virginia Tech, this might be the biggest in the last couple of years. So, last bit, because I mean, Notre Dame, when they came in at number 17 in the country, that had the makings of being a really big game. But of course, Brendan Armstrong was hurt for that game, so it kind of took a lot of the air out of that game before it even really got going. But this is a big one. Friday night, a lot of history between these two programs, even if none of these guys have really played each other. There's a lot of history between Florida State and Virginia when they hit the field on Friday night. That's going to do it for the Who's On podcast. Appreciate you tuning in this week. Again, big thank you to my guest, Demetrius Allen, Petey, for coming on the Who's On podcast. Check us out on YouTube, our new YouTube channel, and also check out us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. We're there. Like, subscribe, leave a 5-star review, comment on YouTube, like, follow, subscribe. All of it is appreciated and gets the word out there about the podcast. Of course, Friday night, we will have our Who's On post-game report from Scott Stadium right after the game is over. We will see how that one goes. Maybe we go live. Maybe if there's something to go live about, maybe we go live from Scott Stadium right after the game. So we'll test that out. But again, big thanks for listening. We will check with you later after this Friday night in Scott Stadium. We'll see you then.